now. Ready? Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. It is Memorial Day. It is the time that our nation, we celebrate our veterans and we remember those who lost their life defending our freedom. Amen. Freedom does have a cost. Amen. And it's the price of life. So we are going to worship God because our freedom comes from Him. Amen. And is defended by our military folks. Father, we love you this morning. We praise you and we magnify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And Father, as we lift up the praises of an awesome, mighty God, we just invite you, Lord, to be enthroned in the praises of your people. I ask that you would destroy yokes and lift burdens in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, our Messiah, we pray. And everybody said, amen.
I just can't believe where my life was at. All that I know is my heart was broken. I don't ever want to go back. Ain't no explanation how I saw the light. He found me and set me free, and he brought me back to life. Blame it on the transformation. Chased down to the car. This love is real and I can't sit still. Cause my name's not shame no more, more, more. Great God Almighty, don't change this. Great God Almighty, don't change this. You gotta change. Maybe he came to you when everything seemed fine. Or maybe your world was upside down and it's right between me.
Time that I swore I would never go back. I was blind to the truth, didn't know what I had. I was running, I was searching, but every place I turned for healing left me more broken than the last. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I I wanna go to church. Trying to walk on my own, but I'm wound up lost. Now I'm making my way to the foot of the cross. It's not a trophy for the winners, it's a shelter for the sinners, and it's right where I belong. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse, where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church. The faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse, where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church. Yeah, I wanna go to church. Yeah. with a new future to tell. For the dry season is over, there is a cloud beginning to swell. Skies heavy with blessing, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens, now we receive the Spirit of God.
if that doesn't hit home, I see some misty eyes. Mine are misty also. I never served in the military, but that's one of the deepest regrets that I have in my life, you know, that I didn't. But I want to read you this. I don't know who this man is, you know, but he must be a good man. His name is Herbert Douglas. He wrote this article about the cost of freedom. He said, ask the question again of the remnants of that same 2nd Ranger Battalion, now reinforced and assigned to Hill 400 in eastern France, late in November. The 1st Army had already thrown 4 divisions at Hill 400 with crushing losses. The conditions were even worse than at the point. Still, the Rangers went in, knowing the risk, outnumbered 10-1, their original strength of 3 full companies eventually reduced to just 5 officers and 86 men. They took the hill in 2 days. The cost of freedom is incalculable. Ask those 19-year-old teenagers, the average age of the 1st U.S. Marine Division, who landed August 7, 1942, on the north shore of Guadalcanal, a small tropical island not far from Australia. Guadalcanal was the first time that American forces stopped the Japanese sweep in the South Pacific, turning the tide of war. But at what cost? Under fire during the landing, the naval forces pulled away, leaving the young Marines without air support, without most of their heavy weapons, tanks, and all the rest of their supplies. But those teenagers hung on in that rain-soaked, malaria-ridden land, fighting off the snakes, leeches, jungle rot, and a well-entrenched enemy. For the next 6 months, Guadalcanal became hell for both the young Marines and the defenders. When in early 1943 the Japanese pulled out, only 10,000 soldiers were left of their original 40,000. The 1st Marines required a full year of rehabilitation before they could be called a fighting, before they could again be called a fighting unit. Having lost many thousands of dead and wounded, the cost of freedom is incalculable. Think of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. Individually, each of them had more to lose than to gain in a revolution. Most of them were already men of standing in their communities, highly educated and owners of substantial property. John Hancock, the richest man in America, became a wanted man with a price of $500 on his head. They did not choose to revolt. They merely wanted to be treated the same as other Englishmen were in England. And they all knew that the penalty for treason was death by hanging. Death by hanging, I got it right here. That freedom has cost plenty beyond even the best historian's ability to measure all the lives lost or impoverished in the fight to preserve it. As responsible men and women, we must do our part to ensure that people in all lands, of all colors, whatever their politics, know that God has given them freedom to exercise their conscience, to stand up to coercion, to confront any power, whether religious, political, or tribal, that tries to destroy their freedom. In so doing, we say yes to God. At times, that kind of responsibility is only, as Kipling put it, a thin red line. But that thin red line has been all that was necessary in the big moments when freedom's light was dimming. In 480 BC, a small force of 300 Spartans died defending Greece against thousands of invading Persians and their allies. Thermopylae, also known as Hot Gates, that narrow mountain pass in central Greece, would never have been remembered if not for the 300 men who paid the cost of freedom. They held the pass long enough for their countrymen to organize a defense that eventually saved the Greek democracy and ensured the legacy our civilization owes to Greece. At that pass today is a monument with these words, "Go tell the Spartans, stranger passing by, that hear obedient to their laws, we lie. We today should understand the cost of freedom paid by so many in the past. It is up to us to stand at our gates, adding to that thin red line heroes, and boldly say no more to coercion and control of any kind that would limit the ability of another to breathe free. Romania was once held in the iron grip of Nicolae Ceaușescu and his dreaded Securitate forces. Lazio Tokes, pastor of the Romanian Reformed Church in Timișoara, spoke out against the horrible abuses of Cescu's regime. A court order was issued for his exile from his church to a remote village. But on December 15, 1989, hundreds of loyal parishioners encircled his church in a human chain. When the police came, the church members remained firm. Then the massacre began. The officers who refused to shoot were themselves shot. But the revolution had begun. The news of Timișoara spread through Romania. In only a few days, the tyrant Cescu became a hunted fugitive. His capture and execution soon to add to the horror of the upheaval. The fanaticism of Cusco's Securitate, 180,000 strong, was not able to restrain the wave of freedom ignited by Tokes in Timișoara, the man who had publicly decried the horror of despotism. The cost of freedom worth any price, because nothing can substitute for it. Nothing. Amen. So through that video and the words of Herbert Douglas, our freedom came at a great cost. And I don't know if I'm saddened or if I'm concerned. I really don't know how I feel. But I know Americans were really, really, really quick a few months ago to give up that freedom very, very easily. A freedom that was paid for in blood. Amen. Of our many soldiers. Amen. And I hope it's a lesson learned that we are never quick to give up our freedoms. Amen. Again. So with that, the cost of freedom, the video was wonderful. To hammer that home. And like Herbert Douglas says, freedom, the price of freedom is incalculable. So where did our freedom come from? In a Thanksgiving sermon in 1799, Abel Abbott spoke for many Americans of his generation when he said, "It has often been remarked that the people of the United States come nearer to a parallel with ancient Israel than any other nation upon the globe." Amen. And when I was in Woodsfield, Ohio, a couple of weeks ago, and then you go into the little town of Woodsfield. Woodsfield's probably the size of Ironton, maybe not that big. It's in Monroe County. But when you come in to the center of town, there's a sign that says Jerusalem, 12 miles. I wish it was that easy to get to Jerusalem. But then not too far from there, there's a, or in Jackson, we have a road. We live on, Debbie and I live on David Avenue. And David Avenue runs out of town, and when it runs out of town, it turns into Mount Zion Road. And how many towns, little towns in southern Ohio and in Kentucky, everybody's got a Bethel or a Bethel? You know? See, our forefathers were very steeped in the biblical tradition. They even thought America was another promised land. Amen? And the idea of freedom does come from the ancient nation of Israel and what God did for them. A poet named Heinrich Heine said, "Since the Exodus, freedom has always spoken with a Hebrew accent." I thought that was kind of neat, because our forefathers thought that the true picture of freedom comes out of the book of Exodus. And we're going to look at a couple scriptures here today. I wrote many thoughts down for many different people. The forgotten contribution, one man said, of the Jews and Mount Sinai, and the way in which both built on and decisively advanced the ancient liberties of the English. Do you know that's why men like William Bradford came over here on the Mayflower? It was for freedom.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And liberty. They wanted to come here and freely worship in a church of their choosing, not the Church of England.
Amen.
You know, for a long time, from probably Constantine all the way to the Mayflower, you had popes and kings that were in cahoots against the people.
Amen.
Okay? And so they wanted to escape any king, any religion had anything to do with the king.
Amen.
Except the King of Glory. Amen.
Amen.
In Judaism, during Passover, a small child will always ask the question, "What makes this night different from all others?" It is meant to provoke the annual retelling of God's promises kept to Abraham. Remember, God told Abraham, "Your seed will be like the stars of the sky."
Amen.
And he said, "But your seed will go into captivity for 400 years.
Amen.
But the Bible says that God remembered his promise to Abraham.
Yeah.
After 400 years. And you know, around here, this church, we know that in Hebrew, to remember is not just to have a thought, but it's to act on behalf of. And what did God do? He sent Moses to Pharaoh to say, "Let my people go." Amen. The exodus from Egypt was the birth of the Jewish nation known as Israel. We could say here this morning that the exodus of William Bradford and many others on the Mayflower was the birth of this nation.
Amen.
Amen. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, if you ever get to read any of his books, I suggest you read them. And others have all argued that the book of Exodus is the master story of Western freedom. John Calvin, one of the great reformers, Zwingli, John Knox, Oliver Cromwell agreed with that idea that the book of Exodus is the master story for Western freedom. And William Bradford sailed the Mayflower under this inspiration.
Amen.
Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus 5:1. Exodus 5:1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." Now, we're going to read Pharaoh's answer. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." So they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with sword." Of course, the king refused. The Pharaohs thought they were gods. Okay? And so God brings these 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. You know the story, right? But before I go too far down that road, I want to go back to verse 1. Let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Rabbi Sacks said, ancient Israel was where the idea of freedom was born and is a sure guide to liberty. Now, here's the question. They were saved from slavery in Egypt, right? Yes. And that is a beautiful picture of you and I being delivered or being saved from the bondage of sin, correct? But was that all it was? Was that all God was doing? Was saving them from slavery in Egypt? No. He saved them from slavery for something else. Amen. They were slaves in Egypt. God saved them from that so they could become a nation, a holy nation before a holy God. A nation of priests and kings before God. Amen. You and I are freed from the penalty of sin, not in order that we can just hang on and hold out and hope maybe by the amazing grace of God, and that's all we know about it, okay, is it's amazing. And you know, if you only know one thing about God's grace, that's the one thing you need to know, that it is amazing. But you know, God didn't save us from that bondage of sin just to hang on. He saved us for a reason, for several reasons. One, Jesus didn't say make converts, did he? And he instructed his disciples, he said, go make talmidim, make students, make disciples. Because what was a disciple supposed to do? He was to imitate his rabbi. His teacher. Amen. We are to imitate Jesus here on the earth. We are to be his legs, his arms, his hands, his feet, his voice here on the earth. Amen. So we're not saved or delivered from something. Only we are saved for a reason. The children of Israel were delivered, got their freedom for a reason. America has this great freedom today for a reason. And we can probably come up with all kinds of reasons. But you know what? When America is doing well, the rest of the world is doing well. And there probably hasn't been a nation on this earth that has not experienced the benevolence of the United States of America. And we are able to be a benevolent nation because of the freedom that we have. You know, we got all these people running around. That, you know, back when I was a child, a kid, communism was bad. They were the enemy. We were in the middle of the Cold War. Right? Communism was bad. But now we have politicians that stand up and say they are socialists. What they're saying is, I'm a commie. But a socialist is easier for you to swallow. Amen. I'm just saying that's where we come from. Let me keep going. At Mount Sinai, let me say this about Israel. Israel came into they are a covenantal society. At Mount Sinai, God brought them into a covenantal agreement with him. Now, you've heard me preach more than twice. You know what I'm about to say. A covenant and a testament are two different things. A testament, you don't get anything from it until somebody dies. Huh? But a covenant requires interaction between the parties of the covenant. Amen? See, a marriage is a covenant. But if you're not interacting with each other, you don't really have a marriage. It's going to go south. Somebody say amen or oh me, but it's true, right? Well, the children of Israel were brought into a covenantal agreement with God, and it required that they interact with God. And go over to Leviticus 19. I want to show you something. Leviticus 19. What verse do you want? Verse 1. I want you to see something here. It says in verse 1, page 155, got a Bible like mine. And Yahweh, or the Lord, spoke to Moshe, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother, his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God." Every one of you. So it was the whole nation, mothers, fathers, children, born children, unborn children that might have still been in the womb, were part of that covenant with God himself at Mount Sinai. Now watch. Let's go back to Exodus 19. Just go back left, hard left. Hallelujah. Exodus 19, we'll start in verse 7. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Now watch. Then all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Now, jump over to chapter 24. I'm going to show you something now. Jump over to chapter 24, verse 3. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has said, we will do." And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young men of the children of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read in the hearing of the people, and they said, "All the Lord has said, we will be obedient. We will do and be obedient." Now, in Jeremiah 31, God tells us, or tells the children of Israel, that I brought you out of Egypt to be a husband to you. Okay? So this what's going on right here, God giving his words, they're giving their word back to God, are the wedding vows. You with me? It's a covenant arrangement. It's a covenant deal. Now, I want to say this. The articles of the Sinai covenant covered the whole of life, so that freedom was not just a moment of liberation, but a people's way of life for generations to come. Amen. God gave them his commands, his precepts, his statutes, and in order for them to not just be liberated one time, but to enjoy that liberation for a lifetime. Amen. Unfortunately, the history of Israel shows that they did not keep their wedding vows. And time again, they were taken captive by some. That's the whole story of the book of Judges. Read the book of Judges. They're always under somebody else's thumb. And they would cry out to God, and God would send them a deliverer. Samson is a deliverer. Deborah, Gideon are all deliverers. Amen? But look what's happening here. God is giving them his words here, And they are saying, all that you have said, we will do. What's going on here? The governed are giving their consent. Right? Isn't that the way our government's supposed to work? They're not supposed to do anything without the consent of the governed. Right? But yet, in our nation today, they couldn't give a rosy red rat's hind in about what we think. Did I say that? It's true. Okay. I better keep going. Now, let's go to one other scripture here real quick, and then I'll try to finish with a flurry. Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. Now, O Israel, this is page 235. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God has which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught your statutes and judgments just as the Lord my God commanded me that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Amen. God's word refers to Israel as a great nation that has God's law, God's Torah, his instruction in it. Now, for Israel to remain liberated, free, they would have to be obedient to the word of God. I would think they would have to be grateful for the word of God. And most of all, they would have to place value or admire the wisdom of the word of God. Amen. Do you know our nation was founded on the same principles and precepts? We also have a covenantal agreement. It is called the Constitution of the United States of America. Amen. Amen. Our forefathers went to great lengths to pen that Constitution. And that Constitution is based on the liberty and the freedom that God has given to mankind. Amen. Let me read you a couple other things here. A covenant, this is important. The Mount Sinai covenant, now watch, I want you to hear this, because this brings me to my last point. The Mount Sinai covenant was a morally binding pledge. In other words, Israel was going to be required, in order to stay in covenant relationship with God, they were going to have to walk in obedience to that word of God. That word of God would be the moral standard in which they would live. Amen? A covenant is based on the moral act of one person or many promising something and being responsible to fulfill that covenant promise. The freedom that is the heart of consent to the covenant carries within it the responsibility that is the heart of the obligation to the covenant. What I'm trying to say is this: the reason America's The reason America's freedom has recently been challenged, I think, is because of the morality of our society. We and I'm going to read you another partial article here in a minute. But our society began to deteriorate in the 60s. America had come out of two world wars, the Korean conflict. We were starting to prosper. I remember growing up on Phillips Street in Marietta. I can't remember the exact address. But almost every house had kids. There were always kids outside. And you know, one of the big deals about growing up in a neighborhood full of kids, there was always somebody out playing. We had a baseball diamond in front of our house. Marietta College's field was right behind our house. Their foul balls would hit our house. That's how close it was. There was a basketball court across the street. There was a basketball court behind our house next to the baseball field. There was kids everywhere. But you know what? On Sunday morning, there wasn't any kids anywhere. Because we were all taken to church by our families, our parents. But in the 1960s, with the birth of the birth control pill, free love entered. And with free love came the left-handed cigarette culture. You know? And then in the 70s, with the free love movement and everything, in the 70s, the divorce rate started going up. When I was in school, you know, very few of the kids in my school came from divorced parents. You know, my buddy, my best friend growing up, his father left his mother. This was before this was cool to do, but his father left his mother for another man. That was really weird. Divorce was strange, but that was even stranger. And now I look back, I know why he didn't want to talk about it. How are you going to explain that as a 13, 14-year-old to your buddy? You know? We didn't know. But in the 70s, the divorce rate started happening. And then by the 80s, we're starting to raise children without both parents. See, I can tell you this. It was around that dinner table that my respect for God and my respect for this country was built. My grandpa Andy, my uncle Abe, my uncle Charlie, my uncle George, my uncle Gordy, my uncle Carl, all kinds of cousins. You know, all the Norse boys, they were all in the service. And there was a deep respect for those men and for their service. Because I grew up with both parents. And now today, we've got a generation of kids, maybe two generations, that are being raised by grandma or being raised by one parent who don't know fathers. And because of this breakdown in our society, now we've got people that want to take our freedoms. Amen. That's how that happened. So what do we have to do as a society? I'm glad you asked. I'm really, really glad you asked. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. In order for a society to sustain its freedom, it must have a moral foundation. Amen? Jeremiah chapter 6. So what must we do? Now, I had intended to read a large part of this, but I'm not going to. You're just going to have to take my word for it. But destruction is coming to Israel. Destruction is coming to Jerusalem. And the prophet Jeremiah is there warning them. Remember, God's mercy always precedes his judgment. Amen. So now I've gave you the backdrop. Now let's go to verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk in it. What are the ancient paths? I believe the ancient paths is that Torah, the law, the precepts, the statutes that God originally gave to Israel when he made that covenant at Mount Sinai. Amen. Amen. And one other thing, one other scripture. You're in Jeremiah, go to your right, not too far, and go to Zechariah chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 2. The Lord has been, page 1249, if you got a Bible like mine. The Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. There's the answer. As Americans, we need to return to God. As Christians, I think we have to be even more bolder than we have been. Amen. In sharing our faith. Yes. When somebody you run into, they've got a problem, just ask them, can I pray for you? If they say yes, pray for them. You don't have to pray the paint off the walls or the ceiling. Just pray for them. Let them know that you care enough and that you trust enough in the God you serve to put him on the spot.
Amen.
Maybe you don't even have to pray for somebody. Maybe all you have to do is just show them the love of Christ. Huh? Well, how do I do that? Well, the first thing you ought to do is slow down. Now that was the pot calling the kettle black right there. And take a little time to see other people. Amen. I believe, and see, I was going to preach a message that would give you great hope this morning. And then I realized it was Memorial Day. So I had to shift gears. But I think God set me up now. I'm good. I'm good to go with that other message next Sunday. Okay? But I want to say one other thing to you. The most important freedom is the freedom for excellence and the freedom for living in accord with truth. That was Rabbi Sacks again. The most important freedom is the freedom for excellence. You've heard a certain politician that wants to make America great again, right?
Amen.
He's speaking of that excellence.
Yes.
Amen. America was founded on the principles of God.
Yes.
Amen. And we got away from that and we lost our exceptionalism.
Yes.
And when America is not exceptional, the whole world suffers.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I will tell you that China, for the last, 12 years or so, while some people in Washington have been asleep at the wheel until this president, they have expanded their territory. They have expanded their military. They have expanded their economic might. But this president has stood up to him. I watched a guy last night. You know, I can't remember his name. He's like an expert on China. He said, you watch, China's going to go inward. They're going to close the gates to try to protect, because the people are starting to get a little antsy and aggravated at the communist regime.
Yeah.
So he said they're going to start closing closing in to protect that government, if you call that a government. But you know what? As Christians, we should strive for excellence in our lives. And the only way to strive for excellence or to obtain excellence in your life is to have your life in accord with the truth of God's word.
Amen.
Living according to his word. Amen. Amen. I was going to read you something else, but it's kind of long, and I'm ready to go. How about you guys just easy on me, easy on me, easy. For what? Well, I'm going to. Give me a chance. You got to do something with him. I always pray for you to leave. Okay? I would have had communion this week if somebody fixed it. I sound like Governor Cuomo now, don't I? Blaming somebody else. Okay, I better pray for you before we... I think we'll have communion next week. Hallelujah. Father, we love you and praise you this morning. We thank you once again, Lord God, for our freedom. And we thank you, Father, for... And we are so grateful for the men and women, the soldiers who gave their life for our freedom. And Father, I thank you for America's exceptionalism. Make us great again, O God. Father, allow us to continue to support missionaries around the world so that they can preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And Father, allow us to continue to be a huge supporter, the number one ally of the nation of Israel. And Father, we give you glory and honor today. I pray for these who are here and who are not here, Lord, that call this church home. I pray you would bless them spiritually, physically, financially, and emotionally. Bless them in every area of their life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Y'all good? Hey, make sure you get out of bed and go fishing with him so you don't have fish by yourself. You know?